Good evening, everybody. Are you glad to be here? You know, we just need to throw up our hands and shake off whatever we've been dealing with today or whatever we come in with this morning, because some of us brought some stuff in here this morning, but some of us let it go, too. So that's a good thing. You know, I was really pleased to see the altar the way it was this morning. It really, you know, it was good for my soul to see other people want what I have. But anyways, I'm going to go in. I've got a little bit of a testimony for everybody. You know, if any of y'all been seeing the news or whatever, y'all know Whirlpool is restructuring. And they have been letting some people go, but thank the Lord, I'm safe. Amen. You know, and I can just thank the Lord for that every day. But my testimony is prayers that wasn't answered when I want them to be answered. And this goes back about 6 years. Melissa might remember this or not, but I was bidding on another job, and I asked Melissa to pray about it with me because it would have caused me to go to the weekend crew. And it was a lubricating job, kind of maintenance lubricating job on the weekends. I would have had to work Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I remember asking Melissa back there to pray about it because I was wanting it, you know, but I interviewed for it and everything, and it was down to two of us. Well, they ended up giving it to somebody else, and I kind of got mad about it because the person they gave it to, right? I was like, well, that ain't even right. I mean, she ain't even qualified to do it. Not shooting down women or nothing, but she just wasn't qualified for the job. They ended up giving her that job over me, and I kind of got a little mad about it, but, you know, I got glad in the same pants I got mad in, and I just went on, you know. And I prayed about it. You know, I thought that job was going to be for me, but you know it wasn't. And I thank God today that he didn't allow me to get that job, because that job has been cut out. That job is no longer there. So I want to tell y'all, if y'all are praying about something, it don't come to pass when you want it to. There's got to be a reason for it. Because if I'd have been in that job, I would have been demoted and had to take a cutback. You know, the Lord has been looking out for me. There's no doubt in my mind that he's been looking out for me because of where I'm at, what I'm doing. I love what I'm doing. He's actually using me to talk to people, you know. I'll go ahead and tell you now that I've been talking to a lesbian at work, trying to get her to realize where she's going wrong. The life that she's living is not right, you know. And I've been talking to her for almost 2 years about it because she don't think she's wrong. She don't think the way she lives is wrong. She don't think it's sinful. She thinks she's justified. And she grew up in church, but you know, it's come around that she's started asking me different things, and I can just give her the word, just tell her to do this, look up this, go to this, pray more, you know. Ask the Lord to help you. And it's, you know, it's just me being the best I can through him will other people see. And I point them to him. I don't say it's all me. It's my Lord Jesus Christ living through me that people see. So I just tell you, he will answer prayers the way he sees fit. It's his will. You know, it wasn't his will for me to get that job because he knew where we would be at this day and time. He foresees everything that we can't see. See, that job was 6 years ago. You know, he had better plans for me. You know, and there's no doubt. You know, I didn't want to go back to school, but he seen that I needed to go back to school. You know, and I enjoy school now. It ain't like what it was when I was going to school. I actually enjoy going in there, pulling up the computer, making programs, doing all kinds of stuff. I enjoy it. So just remember, your prayer might not be answered the way you want it to, but there's a reason behind it. And you might not know when it's going to come. I mean, 6 years down the road, thank you, Lord, that I wasn't in that job. That's all I can say. Dear Lord in heaven, I come to you in Jesus' name, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for everything you've done for me, From the beginning of when I gave my life to right now, Lord, I thank you because you've had a plan for me every step of the way, Lord. I might not be able to see it right then and there, but you are showing me more and more and more every day, Lord. And Lord, I ask you to touch each and every single individual here tonight and touch the ones that was here this morning, Lord. I ask you to keep driving it home to them, Lord. Keep tapping at their hearts, Lord. Show them that you're there and you're there to comfort them. Walk with them, Lord. And Lord, as we begin our week, Lord, we just want to give glory to you, Lord. We lift you up tonight, Lord, and we lift you up tomorrow, Lord. We lift you up every day, Lord. We thank you for what you're going to do and what you've been doing, Lord. We just thank you and give you the grace for everything. Amen.
Get to heaven, what a time. old sinful world, and hardly a comfort can afford. Striving alone to face temptation's sore. Where could I go but to the to help me in the end.
Anybody holding on tonight? Hanging out and holding on. We're going to take up the offering tonight, and I just want to let everybody know we're talking with a pastor in Africa about putting together a crusade in October. So pray for us and give, and looks like everything is going in the right direction so far. So pray that the Lord will move and people give, keep giving for missions, because we feel like that the Lord wants this. So just pray and give. Pray and give, amen. And those watching through the internet, we need people to help us. I'm glad for everything that the people do in this church, but you know, if everybody watching would give, if everybody watching, you hear SBN, they say if every single person who listened, who really listened and watched, gave, they would meet their goal in no time to pay everything needs to be paid. And I believe it's the same. Any church where God is moving and people are part of, if every single person will give what the Lord puts on their heart, I believe the Lord, he'll meet every need they have, the churches and yours. So people watching through the internet, you're missing out if you ain't giving. You're missing out if you're not giving to the work of the Lord, amen. Some of us, I've been doing it 25 years, and some of you have been doing it longer. You've been tithing, and the Lord hadn't let you go without yet, has he? Nope, and he's not going to. So give tonight, and we'll pray for the Lord to bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, tonight for your spirit. We thank you for the testimony, God, that we heard from Brian. Lord, we pray that you use it, Lord, to touch people, to bless people. I pray that you would move upon people, no matter what their financial status is, God, that they would take you at your word. And that, Lord, we would obey you and that we would give to you, Lord. And we know that you'll bless us. We know that you'll meet every need that we have. I pray for the people tonight through the internet who need a touch, who need you to move in their life and in their physical body, that you move upon them, God, and touch them and meet their need in Jesus' name.
Too many to tell.
Through the channels yesterday on the TV at home and stopped on that song. It was "The Gaithers Were On," and Michael English and the Gaithers were all singing that song, and I just stopped. You could feel the presence of God. I remember the time when we first got saved, we started listening to some of them and the Michael English, and that was one of the songs I remember that he sang. It was real popular back then. And you think, when you think about it, the words to it, when you sit down and you get to see Jesus and you see the apostles and you see, you know, all the people, but you see Jesus mostly, the one who died for you. Amen. You're going to bow on your knees. You're not going to be arrogant, cocky. All that stuff will be gone. You're going to surrender, amen, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Tonight, I want you to go with me in your Bibles to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3 in the Old Testament. Chapter 3, Daniel. In verse 16 is where I want to start reading it. The Bible says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer you in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto you, O king, that we will not serve your gods, nor worship the golden image which you have set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spoke and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spoke and said unto the counselors, Did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, True, O king. And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. And they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I thank you. I can feel your spirit, Lord. I thank you, God, that you're in control of our lives. You're in charge. And Lord, everything that takes place, you have allowed it because you desire to get some glory. Because, Lord, you want to do something in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, you want to do something in our churches. You want to do something all over this world, Lord. And I pray tonight, God, that this word would be used to encourage people, to bless people, to make people strong. That if they're feeling weak tonight, God, that you would strengthen them by the power of your spirit. That you would use your word, Lord, to comfort them, God, and to show them just as you delivered your service then, you can do it now. And Lord, I thank you tonight that no weapon formed against us is going to prosper, and every tongue that rises against us in judgment, you will condemn it. Lord, I thank you tonight. I praise you, and I ask you to move through the camera tonight, through the internet, that you touch people, Lord, that you help us to put aside everything, Lord, that maybe try to trouble our minds, to focus on you, to focus on your word, and to let you have your way in our heart and in our life. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You know, I didn't really know what I was going to preach tonight until this morning. Michaela said something. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but she said something during the praise and worship, and the Lord quickened it right instantly to my spirit. concerning Daniel chapter 3 to go there tonight. So just bear with me as we try to get through this tonight. And I'll try to explain as much as I can, because again, this is another one of these stories that we've all heard many times. But don't let the fact that you've heard it many times become boring to you. Don't ever think that you've gotten to the place to where, well, I've read that story so many times, there's nothing else for me to get from it. Don't think like that. Don't ever think about like that toward the Word of God. It doesn't matter how many times you've read it. There's always something different. There's always something there that'll jump out to you. There's something you didn't see the last time that'll come this time. And that's why, you know, we should always be reading the Word of God, even if we're not even getting anything out of it when we're reading it. If you're in a dry time, you're going through something, you can't even hardly concentrate, still read it. Make it a habit. Just don't make it a law. Amen? Make it a habit. Just don't make it a law. You don't have to, but you should want to. You don't. There's times you don't want to go to work, aren't there? But you go. You know, because you need it. You need the money. You need the job. Well, it's no different with this. I mean, we need the Word of God. The story begins in chapter 3, the very beginning of chapter 3. We know that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, which we know is a system also that is set up, as I said this morning, a system of the devil used to try to put God's people in bondage and dominate and dictate over their lives what they will do, how they will live, what they will believe. And it's all an antichrist system is what a lot of this is. It represents, and I'll try to explain some more things that I believe the Lord gave me earlier concerning this. But the Bible said that the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits. And he set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar the king, he sent all of his leaders, his captains together, and the princes and the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So he sends out a decree through all aspects of their society of that day and says, tell everybody in this province, everybody, no matter who they are, whether they're Jew, whether they're from Babylon, or wherever they're from, tell them the king has erected an image. He's got his own God, he's got his own system, and he's demanding that everybody around come and be a part of it. Sounds like our government today, don't it? Kind of sounds like some people I know today. And if you don't, you know, here's the bad thing about it, and Christians got to be careful of this. It's okay to disagree with somebody, but when you disagree with somebody to the point that you want to cut them up and kill them, and you want to destroy them, there's something wrong with you. You're evil. You know, everybody who voted for Donald Trump in 2020 was labeled as what? We were labeled as all kind of stuff. Homophobic, sexist, racist, and all this bunch of garbage just because we voted for somebody who actually believed in values and believed in a system based on the Bible, the Word of God, and we've been labeled as haters. That couldn't be further from the truth, folks. We're not haters. Christians love people. I don't want to kill you if you disagree with me. I'm not trying, if you're a Democrat, I'm not going to try to kill you, get rid of you just because you don't believe like I believe. I pray God open your eyes. Because that's what it's going to take. Because you can't, look, I'll go this far too. You can't be a part of that system, democratic system today that is so far gone, so much of a God-hating party. Anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible. They're against everything the Word of God stands for. And if they ever try to use any of it, it's always perverted. It's always twisted to try to benefit them somehow in the wrong direction. You can't support that party and the evil that they are promoting. There's no way as a Christian you can vote for that. If you put your seal of approval on that, you are supporting the devil. You can't. I'll show you from the Bible. The image was set up. The king said, come. And everybody is going to bow down when you hear the sound of the music. Said they had all kinds of music. Boy, the church today has got all kinds of music. That's sad, but it's true. The church, not the world, the church today has all kinds of music. They call some of it Christian rap. They call it Christian hip hop. They call it Christian rock. See, we want to try to Christianize things and take the methods of the world, bring them into the church, and we think that the Holy Ghost is going to anoint that. No, he ain't. God ain't going to anoint the world. He ain't going to anoint man's flesh. He ain't going to anoint that was derived out of the heart of some messed up human being that don't even know who God really is. He's going to anoint that which truly leads people into worship, into the Spirit of God that leads people to Jesus Christ. And you can call us narrow-minded. You can say we're old-fashioned, but I believe the songs we play here, the songs she sings, the ones she's been playing all of her life, this is the kind of music that the church needs to get back to, because it's music that ain't going to tickle your flesh and make you always jump up and down and run, but some of it will touch your heart. It'll bless your soul. It'll lead you to a place with the Lord when you need a touch from him. And those hands are anointed to play, to sing the music. The church's music is a mess. I don't listen to just any music. I don't listen to any Christian radio station. I don't just put any music in my CD player. Most of the music we listen to is JSM music. Been listening to it for 25 years. Why change? I mean, if it's good and if it's anointed, why? And then there's other stuff I like. There's nothing wrong with other music if it's truly, if the Spirit of God is. I told you, I was flipping the channels yesterday and I come across that song from the Gaithers. This might shock you. Not every song they play is anointed. This might shock you even more. Some of them promote country music singers like you wouldn't believe. They're buddies with them. There's nothing wrong with them being friends with them. Maybe they can lead them to the Lord. That's okay. That's fine. But I got a problem with me, you calling yourself a Christian and you're promoting the music of the world that promotes life without God. Always talking about the ex, always talking about the dog, always talking about this and that, the house, losing, and depressed, oppressed, and run down. That's the hee-haw theme song. I lived with that stuff most of my life. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Watched it every Saturday night. Hee-haw. I got delivered from hee-haw and got me a yee-haw. Praise the Lord. Don't miss it. But the music in the church today, I mentioned a while back, I saw something on one of the, it was at John Hagee's church. I was just blown away at a concert, supposed concert they were having by a man. And if you had turned that on and you didn't know what it was, you would have thought you were watching a rock concert or a rap concert on television. It blew me away. And at how that the people who were once conservative, they stood really for something. And now they've opened the door and they've let, little by little, they've let things in. They're bowing down. They're giving in. Are you going to give in and give up? Because I want to tell you something. The pressure is coming. It's already happening. We see that. Pressure from the government.
Pressure from religious leaders. Pressure from those who don't want God's way. Pressure from those who don't believe in the message of the cross, who don't believe that sin is man's problem and the blood is man's answer. The pressure is coming, and you and I are going to be hit at times, and the devil's going to try to get you through somebody to just give in to, it'd be a whole lot easier if you just didn't believe that. But I like what Brother Swagger says, if truth is truth and truth never changes, then we don't change. If it was wrong 2,000 years ago, it's still wrong today. And the pressure comes. We're going to be hit. We're going to be tried. And we see it with the system in our government right now, again, that's being implemented. I try to watch the news like Monday through Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, I cut it off because I can't really take much more. And that's from a, kind of conservative station I'm getting my stuff from. It's agitating. I hate to see the things. I never would have believed that I would see America in the condition that it is in. Who would have ever thought that we would see these God haters, these anti-Israel, these people who are for the enemy, the one. And as she said, these people, look, there's more behind it than they're being paid. They're hired agitators. They're professionals. They're being used of the devil to try to overtake our country, because that's Satan's goal. He wants us to give up, give in, bow down to this system that he's trying to use to destroy us. So the time is here that we are going to be persecuted. We're going to have pressure put on us, and the things are going to happen. Might come from the government, may come from the church, may come from the world, and you're going to be hit, and the devil's going to say, you need to bow down and give up. Well, you were better off over there. You were better off in Egypt. You were better off when you were lost. All kind of things will come to you at times. Family, let me talk about that one. Family ain't always what we want it to be, is it? Our families, the ones we love. But yet, why is there so much division in families? I'll tell you why. Because those that don't want God's way, Jesus plainly stated it. If any man love mother, father, brother, sister, husband, wife, daughter more than me, he's not worthy of me. He said, I didn't come to bring peace on this earth. I come to bring division. I come to set a man at variance against his father, mother against mother-in-law, mother against mother, daughter against daughter. I mean, look, he said, what I came to do, I know I didn't come to divide all y'all, but what I came to do on the cross, if you accept it and you believe it, some of your family are going to walk away from you. Some of your family are going to deny you. It's going to hurt you, but just hold on to me until the end. And you love me, and I'll see you on the other side. And you'll be mighty glad that you held on to that nail-scarred head and you didn't give in to mama's way of thinking. You'll be glad you didn't give in to your brother's way of thinking. You'll be glad when you see Jesus face to face that you didn't bow down for anybody. This is what brings the division. It's the cross. My wife and I was joking with her the other day. I said, I don't have any friends anymore. She said, I know. So I hate that. I said, that's a shame, ain't it? That we don't really have some real good friends. It's a shame that we don't have people to stand with us and say, hey, man, you know what? We know what you're doing. This is God, man. We see this. We know this. Hey, we want to be a part of this. It's a shame. But the cross brings division. It separates the flesh from the spirit. And if you have made up your mind that you're going to press in closer to the Lord, you will be tested. You will be hit. You will be tempted. It may come from family. It may come from people on the job. It may come from whoever. Or people use that way, you just think you're better than everybody else. No, we don't. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I know who I am in Jesus Christ. I know what the Bible says. I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being cocky. I'm not acting like I got something that ain't nobody else got. I done been through that phase. I'm glad God corrected me and whipped my hind in and brought me down and showed me this ain't the way Christians act. Come on, this ain't the way preachers act. I'm glad God already got me through all that and taught me some things. That ain't how Christians act. That ain't how we live. That's not the way we conduct our life. So if I don't agree with you, it's okay. I don't hate you and I don't want to kill you. Doesn't mean I have to be around you all the time either, though. Doesn't mean I have to come dwell at your house with you. Doesn't mean I have to hang out with you. Because the last thing the born-again believer needs is to be hanging out with people that's got corrupt thinking. That's got perverted thinking. The devil comes through Nebuchadnezzar and he tells them, you're going to bow down at the feet of this golden image. When you hear the music, send out the decree, fellas, and tell everybody that the king said you're going to bow down. We're all going to come together and we're going to dedicate ourselves to a one world system. A one world government who the devil wants to be the leader of because he thinks he's greater than God. He still thinks he's greater than God. How deceived can you be? He does still think that. That's why he does what he does. He really believes that in the end, somehow he's going to win, even though he knows what the Bible says, but he ain't going to win. The Lord is in control. So the Bible said, a herald went out. They cried aloud, commanded them, all you people of every nation, of every language, when you hear the sound of the music, the sound of everything, and you see the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar has set up, everybody come and fall down. He said, and whosoever does not fall down and worship at the same hour. Now hold on a minute. We want to make sure everybody understands what the king is demanding. He's demanded that everybody come, but at the same time, he also said to tell any of you, just in case there might be any of you in Family Worship Center, just in case there might be any of you watching through the internet that have said, I ain't going along with that. The devil wants to give you an opportunity. He wants to try to push you. He wants to put fear in you. He wants to let you know that if you refuse to be a part of all this garbage going on, you will lose your life. You'll lose. It won't be good for you. And he made the decree so everybody knows what the king has said. Everybody knows. They put the word out. The crowds know. And for the most part, 99.9% of the people showed up and said, okay, king, whatever you say. Yeah, we'll worship your gods. We'll agree with your stand on LGBTQ. We'll agree that it's okay for a woman to sleep with a woman and a man with a man. We'll agree. Yeah. Is it true? Do you really believe? The scripture says, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the word went out and three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, only three that we know of course, with Daniel, said, hold on just a minute. Whoa, 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 whoa. We can't just show up and give our soul to anybody. We can't just show up and believe anything anybody says. It don't matter who it's coming from. If it's anti-God, if it's against the word of God, it don't matter who the king is. It don't matter who the president of the United States is. If it's against the word of God, somebody's going to have to say, I'm not bowing down. Devil. I am not giving in. It ain't because I think I'm better. God's word says is sinful, but people are looking for you to agree with them. That's what she would really like for you to do, Brian. Agree with her. Oh, yeah, it's okay. People want you to agree with them in their error. That's what a lot of people are looking for. That's why people don't run so much to me and my wife. Because they know they ain't going to have somebody to agree with them in their error, if they're in error. You come to me for a problem, we're going to listen to you, but I'm telling you, you're going to get the answer. His name is Jesus. He's the answer. And he can fix your problem. You're not talking to a rookie. I've got 25 years experience now. I'm telling you, I know what God can do. We know what the Lord can do. He's still doing it. He ain't stopped. He's still doing it. He's still changing. He's still working. He's still moving in us. He's still doing it in all of us. But people want you to agree with them. And look at this. For the most part, the people agree with the king. And we got that system in our world today. We see it through everything going on. The attacks, the protests, the God haters. And if the devil could have his way, he would completely wipe this nation out. But you know what? I still believe that God has a few.
Amen.
And that's all he needs. God don't need the many. All God needs is a few. A few good men and women that'll say, no, I respect your office, Mr. President, but I'm not going along with what you're doing. I'm not voting for it. I'm not accepting it. Thank God there are some of these men standing up now in Congress. They're standing up against these people. They're coming out. They're not afraid of them. We need more people like that. People that believe that the Bible is the base. It's where we get our values from. You got to go back to the Bible. You can't go to the Quran. Listen, if the people out doing these protests, if these idiots really understood what they were doing, some of these women, if they really understood what they were doing, you go into an Islamic nation and you commit some of these acts of sins like homosexuality. Do you know what the reward for that is? Do you know what the result of that is? They kill you. They eliminate you. You're cutting your own head off. You don't realize what you're doing. The people of this nation they're being brainwashed. And a lot of that problem is the wrong news. CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, CSNBC, and all the rest of these people who are always constantly focused on Donald Trump. Have you noticed how much they've been focused on him ever since he's come and gone?
Yeah.
And for some reason, they still can't get rid of him.
That's right.
For some reason, every time they attack him, he doesn't go down. He keeps getting more popular. Oh, I like how God does stuff.
Yeah.
The lady's husband who was killed a while back wasn't in New York. Was it a police officer, I think it was, or somebody? And he went to the funeral. The wife invited him. They wanted him to go there. They showed a clip later on where the governor, or was it the governor or the mayor, Kathy Hochul, she wanted to go to the funeral home visit. They run her off. They didn't want her there because their policies, letting people kill people, promoting murder, promoting violence, come on, and not laying down the law according to the law. They're lawbreakers themselves. But yet they want you to bow down to them. I want to tell you something, devil. We ain't bowing down to you. I'm glad we've got a governor in Tennessee that believes in something, that believes, at least I believe, in the Bible. I'm glad we got somebody with some common sense around here and that hopefully knows what a man is and what a woman is. And knows that two women can't have a baby and two men can't make a baby. He said that, so they warned them. They told them, if you don't bow down, these are the consequences. And today, you know, in a similar way, they can threaten our churches. If you preach that, we'll take away your tax-exempt status. If you say that, if you do that, we'll do this and this and this and this, and then we're going to find out who's in it for the money and who's in it for souls. Then we'll find out who gives in to the pressure, who bows down. We already saw through COVID. I believe it was a major test. I'm not saying everybody that put a mask on failed a test. That ain't what I'm saying. There are times that I wore it, but it was very little, very few, because I hated them, and I still do. Amen. I don't think nobody should have ever been made to wear one to begin with. Nobody. It should have been everybody's choice. To be honest with you, the mask only made it worse. All it did was suppress it. If you just let everybody breathe God's fresh air, it would have got through it a whole lot quicker and been gone and done and over with. But now look at the mask. Look at how this, and I believe this with all my heart. I truly believe, based on what I saw in the 2020 election, COVID and the mask wearing was used as leverage to try to steal the election. They knew what they were doing. People better be on their toes this year, and you better know what the devil is doing, and you better get up and you better go vote, and you better make sure you vote right. And you better get over somebody thinking, well, their tweets seem kind of mean. You ain't seen mean. You ain't seen rough. You ain't seen hell. You ain't wait until you see what is coming to this nation if somebody ain't put in office that's going to get a grip and lay down the law. If you think September 11th was something, this nation has seen nothing like what is coming, because there are terrorists in this nation like we've never had before. I promise you, they're setting up groups all over this nation. They're going to plan attacks and they're going to target major cities, I'll guarantee you. But only if the people don't put it in, if the people don't step, and we know what we got right now, they ain't going to step up and do anything. Unless they think it might benefit them for an election, a re-election. But we're being told, just as they were, to bow down, give in to the system. We're being told, accept this ungodly system that promotes life without God. We're being told to accept this transgender movement. We're being told to accept the murdering of a baby, even up to the point of birth or after birth. This is what we're facing in our nation. And I wonder how many people who call themselves Christians support this, have given in to this, because they've left the word of God. So the Bible says that the Chaldeans, after they made the decree, they came and they noticed that while the ceremony was going on, and for the most part, all the people were participating in the bowing down and ceremony of dedicating this golden image to Nebuchadnezzar, because really, in reality, he wanted people to worship him. He himself thought he was some kind of God. So that's really what this is more about. He wants the people to bow down really to him, to give in to his system. And the Bible said that this took place, but while this took place, that some of his leaders, they actually noticed that there were just a few people that weren't going along with them. Three men. Just three out of hundreds of thousands. And they take note of him and they say, wait a minute, isn't that those Hebrew boys? Is that those Israelites, or those, is that those children of God? Are those different people? And they went to the king and they gave the word to the king. They said, King, you know, the ceremony is going good. Everything's going great, but we got a problem. Everybody's pretty much bowed down and everybody's given in to your system, but we found three men that are not going along with your decree. I wonder today, could God say that about us? Well, or somebody could say, hey, we found some people over in Athens, Tennessee. They ain't going along with everything. They ain't going along with false doctrine. They're not going along with everything going on in the government. Somebody needs to take notice of somebody. And if you stand for the truth, stand, don't bow. They'll take note of you. And then you'll see where people stand too, though. When the persecution comes and the pressure comes, then we find out where we are. Then we find out how strong in the Lord that we are. We better get filled with the Holy Ghost, because you're going to need some power. In these days, you're going to need some power to stand. The attacks are coming. And they said, there are three men who we found that you have set over the first king. Not only are, you know, the three men, you know, but these three men, they're in your office. They're working for you. You put them in positions, and they are disrespecting you. Boy, we need some people to do that in Washington right now, to flip, disrespect, and get out of that mess and tell them people, you're crazy. You have lost your mind with what you're trying to do, and we will not support this. It's happening with some. It needs to happen with a whole lot more. It said, these men, O king, they've not regarded you. They serve not your gods, nor worship the golden image that you have set up. And then King Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and his fury, now he's angry. You ain't going to disrespect me. You're going to pay a price. Because I'm your dictator. I'm the one who's giving you your wealth. I'm the one who has given you your job. I'm going to give you another opportunity to go along with my system. He said they brought these men before the king. Brought them to him. Nebuchadnezzar, he said unto them, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true, do you not serve my gods? He said, is it true? Is it true that you don't support LGBTQ? Is it true that you don't support transgenderism? Is it true that you don't support this anti-God system? Yes, it's true. Guilty. Guilty. Is it true that you do not serve my gods nor worship the golden image that I have set up? And he said, now listen, if you be ready at what time you hear the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, all these different instruments and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image that I have made. He's given them another opportunity. The devil will always give you another opportunity. He'll show up somewhere down the road and try to take advantage of something going on, maybe in your life, on the job, in the world, in the government, to try to prey on you. He said, if you bow down, it'll be well. But if not, if you worship not, you shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God who would deliver you out of my hand? See, he considered himself to be a God. Who is that God who is going to deliver you out of my hands? He says, well, he's about to find out. These idiots in our nation, they're going to find out one day who that God is. They're going to find out who the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is, because He is King. He is God. He is Jehovah. He's a ruler. He's a creator. Praise God. And He's going to have the last say in everything that takes place. This earth ain't going to pass away through no global warming. It's going to be ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It's going to change habitations. The New Jerusalem is coming down from God out of heaven. And we're going to walk on streets of gold. And we're going to live in an environment. And there ain't going to be no God haters there. There ain't going to be no lesbians there. There ain't going to be no drunkards there. Ain't going to be no liars there. Ain't going to be no thieves there. Ain't going to be no whoremongers there. Because the Bible says so. Hallelujah. It says those people will have their part in the lake of fire. But we're going to live in a kingdom on this earth ruled by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Is it true that y'all don't go along with global warming? Sure is. Stupid. The garbage these people are trying to use to take away your freedoms. They want your dishwasher, your gas stove, your gas-powered car. Probably be getting your weed eater next. Your lawnmower. They're nuts. They've lost their minds. They think they control this earth. They don't. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He holds it in the palm of His hand. What He created, He sustains. A little bit of oil ain't going to wipe the earth out. Come on, somebody. Exhaust fumes ain't going to destroy the earth. The fire of God is going to renovate this earth one day. The power of God is going to change this place one day. You better get ready for that fire. They want people to bow down. They're trying to get our nation, they're trying to get the church, trying to get Christians and even the world to give in. How many people do you know that they know about all this stuff going on, they see it, but they won't say one word? They're scared. They're afraid. They're afraid that if they say something, oh, I might make somebody mad in my family. I might upset somebody. I don't mean being arrogant and cocky. I mean that you just stand up for the truth. You just let people know you don't believe foolishness. And then, but they're quiet. They don't want to say anything. People better get off of being quiet and start opening their mouths and let the devil know, let people know what you believe, that you don't go along with everything. And he said, is it true that you don't serve my gods? And they said, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter. We don't even really have to think about it. I don't even have to think about it. Are you going to, I don't even have to think about it. What are you going to do with this? I don't really even have to think about it, because if the truth be known, we should have already made up our mind in our heart. Look, when we gave our life to Jesus Christ and we said, Lord, I'm going to serve you till I die, that still ought to be your decree today, and that you ain't going to give in, you ain't going to give up, you ain't going to bow down, you ain't going to turn back, but you're going to go all the way until the end. We see end times are here. We see things taking place. We got to know that we're nearing the end. So now ain't no time to give up, and it ain't no time to shut up. It's time to let the King know we don't even have to answer you in this matter. We got our minds made up. We're not bowing. They said, if be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And He will deliver us out of your hand, O King. There's faith. He will. Our God is able and our God will deliver us out of your hand. But they said this, but even if not, even if He don't show up, even if He don't move in the next election. Come on, so even if things don't go the way that I think they ought to go, I made up my mind, I will not serve another God. I will not turn my back on Jesus. Jesus Christ, I will not give in to the filth of this world. I will not give in to the music of the world. I will not give in to the drugs. I will not give in to the alcohol. I will not give in to a psychiatrist. Because my God is able to deliver. He's able. He will. But if he don't even have to think about it. We will not bow down and worship the golden image which you have set up. And now, they've just insulted the king. They've just insulted the king of Babylon. No, we're not going along with you. And the Bible says he became full of fury, angry. So much to the point it said that his visions, his countenance changed suddenly. You ever seen somebody just get blood red in the face, mad? And his countenance changes against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, against three men that he had given positions in his kingdom. And therefore he spoke to his men and said, heat the furnace 7 times harder than it's normally heated. Let's make it even harder on them. Let's increase the temperature. Let's increase the torture. Let's increase the pain. And then it said he commanded his most mighty men. I don't know why he had to get mighty men to handle 3 little men. 3 of his most mighty men, it said. I wrote down something in my Bible. I'll just have to say it since I wrote it down. What are they doing in our government today? They're trying to use their most mighty men, the FBI. Department of Justice, weaponizing them to attack political rivals, to try to drag stuff up on them, make stuff up on them. Did you ever think we'd be seeing this in America? Did you ever think we'd see a former president attacked like he's been attacked? Did you ever think we would see somebody going through the torment and the devil says, I'm going to make it hard on them? I'm going to make them suffer. I'm going to make it painful for them. He commanded his most mighty men, which were in his army, to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And it says that they were bound, tied up behind their backs. It said they had their hosen on. They had their hats on. They had all their garments, they had all their clothes. See, because they wanted to use that to make the torture even worse. Burn them with all their clothes on, they'll burn longer. The heat will be hotter. It'll hurt worse. We're going to show them who's in control. We're going to burn them up. We're going to get rid of them. No, you're not. You ain't going to get rid of true Christianity in this nation. Because true Christians don't just lay down and roll over and play dead when the heat gets put on. True preachers of the gospel don't run off and hide when it gets intense. We don't run off. Christians don't run. We've already made our stake. We ain't bowing. And we've already said, if you put us in the fire, then so be it. God is able to deliver us, but if he don't, we still ain't, no matter the pain, because even if it's painful, in the end, it'll still be worth it to live with my God in heaven, where I have eternal life forevermore than for a few minutes of pain and suffering to give in to your tactics. They were bound in all their clothes. They were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace, thrown into the midst of a furnace. The Bible says those mighty men who were commanded to bind them, tie them up, and put them to the fire. When they, I don't know exactly what this furnace looked like. It had to be a pretty big structure, I'd say. And it was heated, I would say, somehow, wood, coal, or somehow. But anyways, it was seven times hotter than what it normally was for the purpose of consuming them quick. To get rid of them. But you see, it backfired on some of them. See, the Bible said the mighty men who threw them into the fire, when they opened the door of the furnace, the fire that was supposed to destroy God's children reached out and grabbed a hold of them and burned them up. I'm praying that that's what happens in our nation, that the fire that they're trying to use to destroy people who have biblical values in this nation, that God turn this thing around and the fire leap out and consume them. I mean kill them, but get rid of their stuff. Come on, somebody. Lay waste to their idiotic stuff. Lay waste to their crazy thinking. Clean house. Get them out, Lord. God was trying to tell the king something, I think, through this too. Your men might be strong and they might be mighty, but I can even use the elements. I can use the fire you created to destroy my servants, and I can use it to destroy yours. People don't know who they're messing with. If people only knew, if the people that only understood the God that they were messing with. It said, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego fell down bound in the midst of the furnace. But here's the best part. The Bible said they fell down bound, but I believe at some point, somehow, some way, because of what happened, they fell down bound, but I just have to believe that they went in praising God. I just have to believe that they were saying, well, praise the Lord anyhow. The fire is hot, but our God is great. The heat is intense, but our God is over the universe. The government is corrupt, but our God is still in control. Amen. And they begin to praise God. I had to believe that. And the Bible said that somewhere in the midst of that fire, a fourth man shows up. We know who the fourth man is, don't we? How many times have you had the fourth man show up? I'm glad the fourth man has showed up in my fire many times. Remember when the fourth man showed up when Lazarus was dying? They said, it's too late. He's dead. He said, no, just hold on. I got a plan. I need to let him die because I need to show you that I'm in control of death. I can raise the dead. I can deliver out of a burning fiery furnace. I can turn things around in your nation. I can turn things around in your life. If you'll trust me, if you'll believe me, if you'll praise me, I'll show you my power one more time. And because I believe they went in praising, the Bible says a fourth man came into the fire with them and somebody took notice of it, the king who had them put into the fire. I don't know if the other men saw it or not. Did we know that the king saw it? He stands up and he's looking. He says, my Lord, what in the world is going on around here? I don't understand what I'm seeing. This, I must be losing my mind. Didn't we put three men into that furnace? And not only did we put three men, they were put in bound. They were chained up behind their back. They were tied up. What are they doing now? They're up and they're loose and they're walking around and they're praising God. And not only that, there's somebody in there with them. My God, there's somebody in there with us. His name is Jesus. I got Jesus on the inside, moving on the outside, bringing about a change in my life. We got Jesus, church. You got somebody. And the king saw it. I don't know if there's evidence that the others even seen it. But the king saw him. And he recognized. He said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire and they have no hurt on them. Walking in the midst of the fire and the fire has not consumed. Man, they still got their hats on. They still got their clothes on. They look as good as they did before they went in. They walked out and wasn't a hair singed on their body. And the king said, go and somebody open the door and get, I ain't opening that door. Huh. Hey, king, you go open it. Go get them out. And the Bible says they walked out of that furnace. They walked out under their own power. And then the king changed his mind about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and their God. And you know what happened? I like how God does things. See, if you handle the test and you go through the fire and you obey the word of the Lord, promotion will come. Because the scripture says the king changed his, he changed everything. And he said, nobody is going to speak against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And it said, he promoted them in the kingdom. That's a good lesson there. How many times have you seen the Lord when you've gone through things and you go through it and you do it the right way and you hold to the Lord, you pass the test, promotion comes. Spiritual promotion. God opens doors for you. God begins to do things. I believe that every time the Lord tells us to do something, it's a test. It's a test. Will you hold on? Will you believe God? Will you trust Him in what He has told you to do? Because it could be that other souls may be affected. Somebody else. You might be in a fire because somebody else needs to see you there and see how you handle it and see God's grace over your life. And the people of this world, they can't understand some of the things that we do and how we do it and how we make it. The world has lost their mind. The world has no hope. The world don't know what in the world they're going to do from day to day. They don't know how they're going to make it. But see, we today know that when we lay our head down tonight, if we left this earth, we'd be right in glory with our Lord and Savior, and we ain't worried about it. We don't have to worry about our finances. We don't have to worry about the family. We don't have to worry about the church. We don't have to worry about the job. We don't have to worry about anything because our God is able to deliver us. Amen. He's able to promote us. And you know what? I believe He's going to. I believe this. We are being tested. The church of the living God all over this world is being tested right now. I've never seen such intensity in this nation. I've never felt what some of the things, I know you are a Christian, you feel it at times. You see the news, you see what's going on, you can feel those demonic powers trying, fighting for control to try to destroy this nation. But I'm praying that God is going to turn it around and bring deliverance and bring lost souls into His kingdom. Amen. Stand to your feet if you would. Miss Grace, could you come just for a minute if you don't mind? I won't use you too long. Listen, if you're in a fire tonight, if you're in a test, if you're in a furnace of affliction, watching through the internet in this place, you need the Lord's touch. You need the hand of God tonight. You need God to do something for you. I don't know what it is, but you know. Come just a minute if you want to. Make your way to this front and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You. I'm not giving in to the devil's system. I'm not giving in to my family's way of thinking. I'm not giving in to this world's ways. I'm not giving in to what the government says. I'm going to trust You. The pressure is coming, church. The opposition is coming. And we're going to need the power to stand and say, Lord, we will not bow. If that's you, I want you to come for a minute. If you're watching through the internet and you can feel the pressure, you feel the intensity coming from people, coming from the government, coming from whatever, you need to surrender tonight and say, Lord, I'm going to trust you in this furnace. I'm going to trust you in my affliction. I'm going to trust you on my job. I'm going to trust you with my finances. God, you're able to turn it around. You're able to deliver us. As she plays, if you want to come, come. If not, praise the Lord. Just slip up your hands. Begin to worship the Lord where you are. If you got something you need to bring to the Lord, let me encourage you, bring it. Lord, help me not to bow. Help me not to bend. Help me not to give up. Help me not to give in. Help me not to compromise with people on the job. Help me, Lord, to obey your word. And help us to follow you, Lord. Praise God. Come on, just worship him. Take a few minutes to praise him. Thank him that he's going to bring you through the fire. He's going to take you through the fire again. I'm trusting you, Lord. Amen. I'm trusting you. You've been so faithful. Sing it. But I'm trusting you, Lord. Well, I'm trusting you with my health. I'm trusting you with my family. Trusting you with my job. So faithful. You've been so true. And you never fail. Trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. You've been so faithful, and you've been so true, but you never failed. We thank you for your word tonight. I ask you to help us to stand on it. Lord, help us to pass the test. Help us to walk in your word, to walk in your ways. Help us to be on guard. Help us to keep that sword, that shield of faith in front of us, Lord, to stand, to withstand the fiery darts of the enemy. And Lord, we pray for our world tonight, this nation. We need you to move. God, we need you to move in every aspect of our society, from the church house to the state house. God, we need you to move, Lord. We ask you, Lord, we're believing for souls to be saved. Lord, we pray for these trips coming up, Lord, that you would move, God, that you would prepare the way, God, that you would prepare the hearts of those in these countries, Lord, wherever they are, to hear the gospel and to make Jesus their Lord. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Had a great day today. If you can make it.
We hope you were blessed by the live service from Family Worship Center in Athens, Tennessee. Our weekly services are Sunday at 10:30 a.m., Sunday at 5:30 p.m., and Wednesday evening at 6:30 p.m. Watch us live online at www.fwc-tn.com. You can also check us out on Facebook or YouTube. Family Worship Center is located at 250 County Road 378 in Athens, Tennessee. Send all correspondence to Family Worship Center, P.O. Box 118, Athens, Tennessee 37303. For more information, you can call the church at 423-744-0774.